Coming up on TMS, passports are easy.
Passport photos are not easy.
Tell me what you think in 10,000 characters or less.
Voltron is coming back.
Stamos lets loose.
Kanye West auditioned for American Idol.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
New Year's Rockin' Eve 1979. Brought to you by Dr. Pepper.
Go ahead. I've been given the third degree by experts.
Yes.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. We just wanted more fish. They wouldn't give us any more fish.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. That's TMS for short, in case you were unawares, caught unawares.
Unless you have a problem, if you know, just in case you have a problem stripping things down to their easiest way to...
Yeah, their most raw form.
Right.
To their most naked state. The naked state. Let's go there. Where's that? Is that Florida?
That?
Who's the most nudist state in the country?
Be Hawaii.
Hawaii? Yeah, probably. Except there's a lot of tourists, so they have to be careful there, right? But they have a lot of exposed skin regardless. That's kind of the point.
They have a lot of exposed skin. I don't think there's any state in the U.S. that is more, you know, completely unencumbered by clothing. But I would say... you will see the most exposed flesh in Hawaii.
Maybe there are times of the year where coastal areas of Florida see more, like spring break or something, but only in spurts like that. Let me use a different word. Only in short periods of time would you see Florida take the crown. But for the most part, yeah, probably Hawaii, because they're in the grass skirts and the dancing and the stuff and the whatnot. I know Tom was in a grass skirt last week. We got to ask him about that.
We need photos.
Well, Pixar didn't happen.
You can ask him.
Oh yeah, right. Everybody, I'd like to make a sad announcement.
That's right. Brian is officially leaving the show.
Brian is leaving the show
at
10 o'clock and only today. So
that's right.
There's that. Shoot, we could have kept him going longer and really freaked him out for a minute.
I don't want to do that. I hate doing that.
I do too. I always feel bad whenever I do any kind of joke like, "Well, I've told you, I can't go very long." I'll start. I'll try to do it, and I'll say, "I've." Yeah, so this thing's happening. I'm just kidding.
You barely get the joke out before you're issuing the retraction.
I'm not able to do it, but you are leaving at 10. You got an important thing you got to do. And so from 10 until 10:30 or so, I will be running this fire hose.
That's right. And, I'm going to try and jump back in. I might make it back in by the end. You never know.
Yeah, if you do, then all bets are off. Brian can come back in. He can shower us with his knowledge or whatever. Mm.
Ooh.
I know.
Well, I just said that.
So I went to get a passport yesterday. I told you I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am here. Yes. And I went in there with my old passport, which has expired. I have not been out of these United States for 11 years, which means I'm a year off the cutoff.
Expiry time.
Yeah. Because they last 10 years, which I think is a little weird. It feels like in this world of, hyper security now, that passports should have shorter lifespans. I don't know why that seems like it would be that way, but I guess it's not. I guess we still have 10 years.
I guess that's a good point, right? I mean, your driver's license expires more frequently. Well, I guess it doesn't.
Depends on the state, too, but I think it's like, 7 years here or something?
7 years, but when you're in those first few years after you get it, I think you've got to renew it every 2 years, right?
Maybe
16 to 18, then 18 to 21, and then
It follows the same, I think, pattern roughly that the insurance stuff does, where you're paying higher insurance while you're younger and lower when you're older. Insurance. Let's not talk about that black magic for now. So there's two ways in where I live. There are two ways to get the three ways to get the passport. One is this DMV like place that makes you want to die. Okay.
Right.
Another is the internet, but it's much harder because you got to jump through a lot of security hoops you normally wouldn't have to if you're there in person. So that was possible. Also, you have to take your own photo and it has to pass rigorous.
It's got to fit in that exact little square and your head has to be perfectly round and egg shaped like that.
Yeah.
The image they provide.
But they make you cough up a lot more security stuff because you can fake that so easy, right? I could take anyone's photo and put it there.
Now, so we just went to the city and county building.
And that's what we ended up doing.
Okay.
So we did that not knowing that that would be the best, because in our hearts and heads, we had believed that, well, that's the main way, so that must be the worst way. Like, that's what our thinking was, is this is going to be packed. It's going to be a billion people there, grumpy people at the desks, like the true DMV experience. And man, were we wrong. We went there after the show yesterday, drove pretty much straight there about a half hour after the end of the show. We went there and there was no one there. We were the only people there the entire time we were there. We were the only people there, except, you know, people working there. And the lady was very nice. Carter forgot to bring her social security number, because it says you didn't need your card, but they need your number, right?
Oh, and she doesn't just know hers off the top of her head?
Nope. And Kim forgot it, and I don't know it either. So we just had to, because Carter's getting one, because she's, you know, we figure, why not? Let's just get her one while we're there. She's not going with us in March, but she just wants a passport. Sure. So we're there.
I mean, she's going to go somewhere else in March without you guys knowing it.
She's going to flee the country.
Now that's right, yes.
Damn it, I didn't think of any of this before. I thought
she's going to Canada.
But she was so nice. She's like, yeah, and you can also just call me with that number later, because everything else on here is legal. I just need to add that number. And if you do it before 4, we'll still get it out today. So she was real nice about that. Everything went just smooth as pie. Like, no issues at all, dude. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
When I go to these things, I expect to have something bad happen. And they never, and they always do. But this was
they
without,
never fail to disappoint.
No. But this was without incident until photos had to be taken. And for whatever reason, also, I don't know why an agency like this doesn't take credit cards. And she had all these legal reasons why they can't. But they can't take credit cards. Thankfully, Kim had a checkbook with her. But they won't do credit
so
cards.
Funny. It's just so weird. Such a crazy, like, backwards thing, right? Like, checkbooks, the only place you ever need checkbooks is for stuff like this, paying a fine on a parking ticket or getting a passport. Otherwise, we could live in a completely checkless society.
Well, and mind you, checks are one of the most fraudulent, easily to defraud somebody ways of paying for things.
Right.
Like, checks are not secure. Checks are not reliable. Yet they think that's better somehow. Like, she told me, she goes, I don't totally understand it, but because we're not a federal agency, we can't take credit cards. I don't think that has anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. I think you got some bureaucracy bullshit going on, and y'all need to get your heads out of your bums. That's what I said. And she said, my what? And I said,
up your bum.
All right. So
did you do that your best Ron Swanson?
No, but I could have. So at the end of this thing with the checks and the stuff, she says, well, come in here and get photos. So she goes, now I can't have you smile, but you don't have to frown. I just need you to kind of be neutral.
Right. They want you to look like you're going to look when you're waiting in line to, to go through customs.
Exactly. So she says, do you always wear your glasses? I said, most of the time. She says, great. So I put them on. Uh-huh. She says, and then I figured,
always wear a wizard hat?
Well, is your wiener always out? She says, do you want to, or how'd she put it? She said, oh, I can't remember. But, well, anyway, she pulls out this camera. Now, I thought it was going to be some rig, like some standardized whatever. No, it is and I'm not kidding, a pink point-and-shoot Pentax camera. A pink one, dude.
Right.
So she pulls out this pink one that looked like something I want to take with me on my trip to Aruba in 1997.
Okay. And it's a Polaroid. Well, it's Polaroid style, right? Doesn't it spit out the... Oh,
nope.
No, it's hooked up to a printer.
It's a little digital hoo-ha, right?
Right, yes.
But it's a very... I mean, there's no way this thing was made in the last decade. It's a
Pentax.
Yeah, it's a little shitty thing. Like her phone, she should have pulled out her smartphone. It would have been a better photo. So she takes this photo... Oh, it just aggravated me to see this old tech in a government thing. I know that's how this goes. I understand. I'm not supposed to be surprised. But anyway, she pulls out this crappy thing, takes like 10 pictures until she gets one where the flash doesn't go off my glasses and make it look like I'm wearing.
Glare.
Yeah, so it doesn't glare. She finally gets one that she says, oh, that's perfect. Just perfect. I said, okay, great. Perfect my ass. I go out into the main hall. I'm waiting for the paperwork. They come back and she's stapling these photos to the paperwork. And I look down at this photo. I look horrifying. Like, Brian, I don't want to show anyone that thing. I'm actually worried when I go to some, you know, when we go to Mexico, I'm going to show it to some guy who's going, gringo, come with me. And he's going to take me to some place where my feet are going to get burned or something.
Well, when you say horrifying, is it because you've got this look on your face like somebody who's just had multiple pictures taken that all went wrong. Or
I look like a crazy mountain man who's got 400 guns stashed in a tree somewhere. Like, I look like crazy. I look crazy. No,
it's your crazy unshaven beard and wild hair. You didn't have your wild hat hair, did you?
No, I had just hair. I had normal hair, but it's blurry. Like, I'm kind of, you could tell she moved, not me. I was holding perfectly still.
Right.
But she's, you know, a little older and was not exactly as steady as she used to be. And the camera went, and you could just see it. Plus, it's all like bright. So look so white in it. Oh,
yeah,
my
there's,
gosh.
There's that lighting in there is not made for fashion photos. That, no. That hair, that light is made for passport photos.
And at first I thought, oh, this is kind of nice. They got a stool and like a backdrop. Yeah. You know, I thought, oh, this is going to be okay. No, it's garbage. Also, that room where they take photos is the same room you share with all the extra reams of paper. And it was right. it was bad.
Oh, when we went, when we did ours at the Sydney County building, it was, honestly, it was a conference room. And it was basically, he was just sitting at one corner of the conference table, you know, filling out the paperwork, and the camera was right behind him. They had like the backdrop thumbtack to the bulletin board behind him, next to the whiteboard.
He's like one of those guys in those movies. It's like somebody making fake passports in a spy movie or something.
Totally. Right. Actually, I think they have a better setup.
Yeah, they might have. So anyway, it went fine, but man.
You'll sit here now.
I think it was me in the photo. I think so. I'm not sure now. When the guy at the border asked me, I'm going to say, I think that's me. I'm not sure. Your guess is as good as mine.
You just have to figure out how to make that same face, have that same look.
Kim, bring some powder and I need to, what else?
A really bright light to put in front of you.
Yeah, and have me shake back and forth really fast so it looks like I'm blurring. It's terrible. Anyway, let's get to the business at hand today. All right. We have a Trek nerd to call.
Yay!
Yeah, we'll get him in here and see what's up. Where's his name? There it is. He's got things to say. Daryl does. I don't know if I'm probably making that up. I don't know if he has anything to say.
He really doesn't, actually.
It'd be the 30th day of filming on some dumb show back in 1967. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, and it is brought to you by...
Catch the new episode, finally, of Anxiety Party this week. Superhero therapy with Dr. Janina Scarlett. I hope I pronounced that right. Janina? We discuss PTSD, connecting with heroic characters to heal, and post-Chernobyl bullying. Chernobyl bullying. Right. That's what it is. Okay. Find it on iTunes and Stitcher or at Anxiety Party on the tweeters. That's A-N-X-I-E-T-E-A Party.
I'm really curious about the line post-Chernobyl bullying.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
Like how you get bullied after a big Russian nuclear accident.
After the mutants rise up from the accident. Oh, they're really bullying. Daryl, are you there?
I could be.
Did you ever get bullied when you were younger?
Oh, geez. Yes.
Okay.
Don't get me on that one.
I don't want to start a ruckus there, but I wonder if it's possible. Well, that's probably not possible, but if we compared bullying today with bullying in the 70s and 80s, if it was worse or better, because today things are much more exposed, so you hear about it more, but I wonder if it's actually less, just like most things we hear about today. Like it's less.
I think it's less.
Yeah. I think it's
either
less
that
too.
Or I'm a parent now. And so everything's hidden from me.
Well, I just don't know how they track it though. Like when we were getting picked on as kids, it's not like somebody was standing there with a census board going, oh, another kid being picked on.
Tell me how you feel about this right now.
Like a little exit poll after you got a Snuggie. Right? Or what'd you guys call them? Melvins? What was the name for when someone pulled your underwear?
Wedgies or...
Wedgie, Snuggie, and a Melvin were the three we had. Melvin was my favorite.
Pink belly or...
A pink belly? What's that?
That's where they pull your shirt up and like keep slapping your stomach over and over and over.
I never had a pink belly.
I never did either, but where was it? Was it Simpsons or Sandlot or something like that?
Oh, might have been Sandlot. That's ringing a bell for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay, how about a swirly? You guys know what that is?
Oh, yeah. Hold you upside down, dip your head in the toilet.
Yeah, in the school toilet.
Yeah.
Which
fortunately, never had that happen either.
I didn't have it happen, but I witnessed one and
scarred you for life.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. But it was football guys doing it to other football guys, and they were all in on it, so it wasn't really bullying as much as it was just like frat pranking each other.
Right.
Then a wet willy. Is that a familiar thing for you guys? A wet willy?
Yeah, the wet finger in the ear.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the shittiest of the shits. I hate that one. That one's bad. I'm sure there's others. I can't think of them. Oh, a purple nurple?
Oh, purple nurple. Yes. Yeah.
My brother.
Two for flinching. I don't know if you count that, but.
Do you ever get the typewriter? Do you ever get that? It's where your brother. Well, my brother did this. I don't know if it's just brothers. W. No, it was my brother would come and he would pin me on the ground and he would hold my arms down with his knees and then with his knuckles, he would tap or quote unquote type on my chest. So it would be.
Oh, geez, with the knuckles? Oh, my God.
Like really hard. And he'd say, say ding, say ding. He'd go, say ding, say ding. And I'd go, ding, and he'd slap my face like you would like a typewriter, like you're kicking the typewriter over, and he'd slap my face and then keep typing. Say ding, say ding. Like ding, all ding meant was you thought in your heart and mind that it meant he was going to stop. But
it's just a temporary reprieve.
Yeah, typewriter was bad.
Temporary reprieve from the knuckles, but you get the slap. Oh, my God.
Typewriter was bad.
We need to ask Senior Land Geek if he got bullied when he was a kid. Like he's, you know, I don't know if he's our oldest listener, but he's our oldest frequent contributor, you know.
He's our most active oldest listener, for sure.
Right, exactly.
He's the one that gets up on a mic and reminds everybody who he is, even though everyone knows who he is. So, yeah, I'd be very curious.
I'm Gary from Lantronics. You got 50 bucks.
If you ever need some wiring, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. Let's get to the thing here. Let's get to your question, Daryl. It's a Star Trek question, as you may be aware. It's about the Next Generation, and we're today on one of those where we play a clip, and then you have to tell us what episode it comes from.
I love these.
Oh, yeah, good. These are good. So which episode of the Next Generation does this clip come from? Here you go.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Oh, wow. All right.
Well, that's a clip, all right.
Yep. It's a shorty one, too.
It's the beginning of that techno song.
Right.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
USS Enterprise, Jean-Luc Picard.
That's the one.
I love that thing. Why isn't that on more? Why isn't that a thing we hear more of? I guess it's a video and you can
see it. We used to play it all the damn time when we were raiding Ice Crown Citadel and we had to do the air battle.
Oh.
Was it Ice Crown? No, it wasn't Ice Crown. It was...
No. You're thinking of Mal... what was the name of that encounter? You're talking about was it a raid or a...
It was a gunship battle where you were like, you were on one gunship and you had to jump across to the other one.
That was Ice Crown.
It was Ice Crown, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I hated that fight after a while.
Yeah. Oh, I did too.
Yeah. It was okay in the beginning because it was kind of neat and novel, but after a while you're like, holy crap, this sucks. And then you went and did the brother thing, right? Or not the brother, but the son-father thing.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Where those goo balls would run up to the front, and you had to try to stop them, and if you didn't, you were a bad hunter.
Exactly.
I remember that.
Yeah, for me, that was the easiest fight ever, because I just stood behind him the whole time and did my rotation.
Yep.
That slice was a, it nice, mm-hmm. hit.
That was a ranged DPS nightmare for us.
Oh, yeah, right, because you had all those things you had to freeze that were moving all around.
Yeah, those damn, what are they called? Blood puppies.
Oh, blood or worms blood, or blood, yeah.
Blood chickens. Jeez. Blood chickens. All right, Daryl, sorry. There's your clip. The finest crew, blah, 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 blah. That's the one. Your That's options one. Are A, rightful hair or rightful heir. B, allegiance. C,
there's a rightful hair in my soup.
Ooh, that's gross. Yesterday's Enterprise or D, all good things. So it's rightful heir, allegiance, yesterday's Enterprise, or all good things. Mm-hmm. I want you to think about those real hard. Do you guys still have any of your weird chocolate business left?
Yes, we have one bar left.
All right.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Go for it.
I can finally get rid of this FedEx envelope with Al Kamen.
Don't you love doing that? Finally getting rid of a box you don't want to have hanging around anymore.
That's right. Big thanks again to the, if you can hear me over the Foley work. Thanks to the Lavenders who sent this out to us while they were visiting Colorado, as a matter of fact. Visit from, I want to say, the UK.
Oh, nice. Did they have a British accent?
I don't know. They, I didn't get a chance to meet up with them.
Oh.
But they made a big old U.S. visit and stopped in a bunch of different states. Like, that's the way to do it. You know, if you're going to come to the U.S. from overseas, plan like 2 or 3 weeks and then hit a few different parts of the country. Because
did they go to Vegas? Do you know?
I don't think so.
I feel like most of them do when they come. Like most European
travelers. I do too,
yeah.
Most of them do. And they always say, hey, Brian, what do you recommend I do when we're out here? And I'm like, oh, drink. Gamble. Yeah.
What do you recommend I see while I'm
just
in your
Just go to coverville.com/Vegas and you'll find all my recommendations.
Is that true?
It is true. I set up a site because I get so many questions about, like, I'm going to Vegas. What should I do?
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, here's a big list of
things kind of broken out. I need to set that up. I need to do a page like that called /setup or something that shows all of my mixer, mic, and software stuff. Because I get asked all the time, and I hate repeating myself. So I'm gonna do that, I think.
There you go. Good.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah. If anyone's interested, that's probably where I'll put it.
I'll send more of my inquiring people to you.
Yeah, inquirers. all right. So how eat those? Are they good? What's the deal with those?
Oh, yeah.
Are
let's eat them.
Yeah.
Are these from...
they're from America. They bought them while they were here.
Oh.
I think they bought them at a place downtown that does specialize in candies from around the world.
Downtown Denver?
Downtown Denver, called Fizz Bang or something like that. They have a whole, like, wall of unusual sodas. A lot of glass bottles and cans and stuff from around the world. And then they have candies in another section.
Mm. Sounds cool. Sounds all right.
This, we're enjoying today, raspberry lemonade, dairy milk, milk chocolate.
Good Lord. There's some dairy farms in Colorado. There might be real Colorado dairy right there.
Mm.
Could be.
I hear that the UK Cadbury is much different than the US Cadbury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like most chocolate over there, everything's different. Even their, like, Twix and... Well, definitely the definitely Kit Kats are different over there.
Well, oh, yeah, for
very
sure.
Flowery tasting, the chocolate itself.
Flowery, like flowers?
Yeah, no, like, yeah exactly, like that, like rose water and stuff like that.
Not like white baking flour, you don't mean that?
No.
Okay, because that would be real weird.
It has a floral taste, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very good, though.
I had a taco yesterday that had a floral taste. It was supposed to be a shrimp taco, and it had mango on it. And you know how sometimes mango tastes like hairspray? I've mentioned that before, I think. I don't like mango for that reason. Because when you have real mango, like mango flavor, like drinks, fine. No problem. Yeah. Load me up.
Yeah.
You give me an actual mango, and I feel like I'm eating somebody's hairspray. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of mangoes either.
Yeah. But that's how that taco... The taco was still good, but the mango was a little perfumey for me.
Yeah.
It was actually my daughter's tacos, and I was eating one of hers, but anyway, I had a hamburger. Well,
that kind of floral taste is better than when it tastes like the floor.
That's a good point. You'd rather have things not taste like the floor, always. Yeah. I have a recommendation for local Utahns, and a lot of you already know this, Salt Lake Cityers and others, and there are actually a few of them now, so you can get them kind of no matter what little suburb you're in, but there's a place locally called the Blue Lemon that is all food, all of it's gourmet, all of it's sourced locally, including all the beef, all the everything. It's all sourced locally.
Mm.
And they have like arrangements with farmers and you know, stuff like that to get this stuff. And it is always good, never bad, amazing place to eat. So if you've not ever been, it's amazing. It's called the Blue Lemon. There's one right downtown in the middle of the city. And then there's some satellite ones around and they're all good. So highly recommend it. If you're stopping through and you just need somewhere yummy to stop and quick too. They're very fast. It's super good.
Very cool. Yeah. Check that out. The by the way, quick correction. Riz, Kieran, and Archie, the Lavenders, visited. They brought this with them, but they shipped it to us while they were in the U.S. to save on postage.
Oh, I see.
They actually shipped it while they were in Denver.
And at the end of the trial, I think you'll see that this chocolate came from the U.K.
All right, one last thing I was going to mention before we move on, and that is my wife is obsessed with a show that I think I literally hate. Now, I don't hate a lot of things.
Wow, oh boy.
But I think it is real bad. I really don't like it. And maybe it's because I am not the guy you want to go to for your recommendations for what is essentially a souped-up, better-filmed, slightly higher-quality version of a daytime soap opera. The show is Nashville. I really dislike Nashville.
Really?
I don't like it at all.
That's the one with...
it's got some great people in it.
Doesn't it have the cheerleader from Heroes?
Yeah, Hayden Planetarium.
Maiden Planetarium, yeah.
She's right. in it, and she's actually kind of good in it. It isn't her. She's not a problem. What's her name for Friday Night Lights? Tammy Taylor in this plays the main...
Oh, really? Okay. Right. Yeah, they're feuding or something,
well,
right?
Sort of on and off, but she's the executive producer as well, so this is kind of her baby. But the entire show is nothing but a big soap opera. Like, it's just kind of garbage and not believable and predictable as hell. And every episode makes me want to pull my hair out. So I just wanted to put it out there. I know there are going to be somebody out there who says they like it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to like it. Like it all you want. I am not a fan of Nashville in a
when,
very
exquisite
she finishes
way. That, is she going to start Empire?
now, Empire, I hear, is...
I hear it's really good.
Great. Yeah. And
but I figure it's the hip-hop version of Nashville.
Maybe, but I think that... my problem with Nashville isn't that you couldn't make a compelling drama out of this, even out of what they're doing. It's just it's so baseline relationship, who cheated on who, so transparent, easy writing. It's just nothing. It's just like, oh no, you've dropped the big bomb. You're in love with him too? Tune in next week for a new episode. Like, it's just not great. And the music they play sometimes is cool because there's a lot of music. And sometimes it's just terrible. Just awful. And then the stereotypes, they've got one lady that's like, oh, she's just like Trisha Yearwood. And oh, this character we created is just like Taylor Swift, which is basically the cheerleader character.
Yeah.
And it's just so backbitey, and everybody's sleeping with everybody, and so-and-so's somebody's dad, and who knew his mom was his mom? Like, it's a lot of that stuff. Like, I can't believe my father is this other guy.
There's so much of that, you know, where it's now dramas with a lot of... romance. Like, we had for a while, we had the, you know, everybody had to have the police drama, the problem of the week drama. Now it's like, it's why we had to give up watching How to Get Away with Murder, you know, Shonda Rhimes' latest deal, or one of her latest deals, because it was, all right, this cool, gripping drama, a lot of courtroom stuff. Cool. Oh, but these two people have to go and make out now. Ooh, we get some more court stuff. Oh, there's a mystery to solve. Oh, these people are in bed now, and we're going to focus on that for about 5 minutes.
Yep.
Oh, wait. Oh, we're going to find out the... Oh, nope. Sorry. It's... Yep.
Like Damages. Or not Damages. Not sorry. Way. Not Damages. What's the one? What's the newish one? What's the...
Right. With...
It's made by the...
Revenge? No.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, there was one called Revenge, but no, I know exactly.
It's always about the lady. It's like covert ops thing, but and it seems kind of cool on the surface, like it might be all spy stuff and all that, but in the end, it's really just, she's in love with the president.
Is it yes. What is that called? Oh my God, I know exactly.
That one?
Kendra Williams. Scandal.
Scandal. Scandal. That's it. Yes.
Not Kendra Williams. What is the name of the woman? The...
she was in stuff. She was in some
She was in
things.
Stuff. She was hilarious on Saturday Night Live, but I can't remember the
She
actress.
Was she was in Django. Django. You must get her out of the hole in the ground. Remember the girl in the ground?
Oh, yeah, right.
That was
yes.
her. That was her. She's good. Django's wife. That's who
that's
was.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, she's really good. Anyway, Carrie Fisher Underwood.
Carrie Williams?
Carrie it's Fisher Underwood.
Carrie Washington.
Carrie Washington. There it is.
There we go.
Not Carrie Fisher Underwood.
Not Carrie Fisher Underwood.
So anyway, my point is Nashville, garbage, not good, terrible show. Don't watch it. I really recommend against seeing it. However, if you're like my wife, you love it, and she really loves it. And I want her to love the thing she loves. And she watches it. She's going to watch that whole thing through. And she knows it's bad. Listen, she knows it's bad, but she likes a good, stupid, trashy soap
There's
opera
something
kind of thing.
Guilty pleasure about that whole trashy garbage thing. I think that's why... Tina watches her Real Housewives shows.
Well, I liked the first two seasons of Grey's Anatomy, for example. First two or three seasons. And it's the kind of the same thing, but it was really well written and made. Same creator as the Scandal creator. And Scandal doesn't work for me the way that that other thing did. But about season three or four of that show, it also went down kind of the Nashville road and just got ridiculous. So, I don't know. Whatever. To each their own. I'm just saying. It's poo. Watch The Expanse. That's really good.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to Daryl's deal. Oh, Daryl, today in Star Trek history.
Hey. Yes. What happened? Back in the year 2000, the first draft script of the Voyager episode Fury is submitted.
Did you say... What's the episode name again? Just say it out loud.
Fury.
Got it. All right. Perfect. Yep, that's awesome.
I don't think there were any streets in there.
Well played, sir.
Everyone's conspiring against me. Well, there you go. There's that. Let's get back to your question. We've got rightful heir, allegiance, yesterday's enterprise are all good things. One of those was this clip.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
And now you need to tell us with the best of your knowledge, which of those is it?
Okay. It's not the last two, because if it was in there, I would for sure remember that.
Okay.
So this isn't really a process of elimination. It's a process of the opposite of whatever that is.
Okay. What is the opposite of that process?
Maybe it is an elimination. Well, I mean,
you know, if you even know which one it is, you will be eliminating all of the There's really not a process of elimination. Yeah, it's all a process of elimination.
Plus, the opposite of that would be the process of adding things to this. So.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so that ain't it.
Well, forget that.
Objection.
Okay.
Argumentative.
What was A and B again?
A is rightful heir. B is allegiance. C is yesterday's enterprise. Or D, all good things.
Okay, no, it's not the last two, so I'm right about that. Well, this is the perfect example of the process of elimination. What am I talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say allegiance because that sounds more familiar. We've been getting a lot of questions with allegiance as one of the answers.
Have we though? Are we basically seeing a pattern where if that's true, this means that's where Mike is in the series, like where he's just following along?
I think I've been noticing a little bit of that.
So you say, wait, you say rightful heir or allegiance?
I say allegiance.
All right, well, let's find out if you're right. Is it?
Congratulations.
It totally is.
You're a winner.
This is from season 3. Picard gets abducted and is being held captive along with some other alien races. Oh, I remember this. Meanwhile, an imposter poses as Picard on the Enterprise. The crew starts to notice him acting strange. For example, he celebrates at 10 forward and does other things that are unlike how he would behave. And that's what that clip is from.
Yeah,
Why wouldn't he get up and say, best crew in Starfleet?
Exactly.
Oh, just... It was just an average day. He wouldn't just get up and say that for no reason.
Mm. Oh, all right. Well, that makes sense.
Drinks for everyone.
It's on me.
Aiden, set him up.
Bring me a hooker, right?
There are four drinks.
There are four drinks. That's it. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. Find him there on Twitter or at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, now is your chance to stump us with a question of your own. What do you have?
Okay, let's scroll through the leftovers, and here we are. Star Trek character or actual cat breed?
All right, here's your theme.
Better cool it, baby.
All right, there you go.
Ensign Rex.
I like that. Simric.
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 Can we get a spelling?
C-Y-M-R-I-C.
Simric.
That sounds like sci-fi.
You think?
The Y. I don't know why.
Star Trek character or cat breed, right? Are our choices?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meaning the cat. I don't see the Y in the cat name.
No. It sounds more like a cat breed to me.
Does it?
It does, yeah.
Simric cat. What is that cat? Oh, it's a Simric.
Well, there's a Civet cat.
Yeah, that's the one that's they poo and make the...
Right,
make,
that's the coffee.
Made by Honda.
Right? Yeah. It's a Civic. Honda Civic cat.
A Honda Civic cat.
Civet, right? S-I or Civet.
C-I-V-E-T is that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's where they poo and they make coffee out of the poo.
Yep. Simric. Maybe that's what he's trying to make us think of.
I can't believe. Who was the first guy to make... Who said, hey, I know what we'll do today. Let's take that cat that just pooed and make coffee out of it.
Well, it's, you know, it was the coffee beans that the cat would eat. So the cat eats the coffee beans and then they pass through.
Yeah, but my dog ate half a piece of pizza yesterday. I don't want to try it again.
Did it come out clean on the other side?
No. No, it did not. It came out poorly. Let's put it that way.
All right, I'm going to lean with you. I'm going to say Star Trek.
I don't know why, but the Y says Star Trek to me. So yes, I guess we say Star Trek. There's nothing at stake here, so it's fine.
Right.
Okay.
Bring on the virgins.
Let me make this real to you. Bring on the virgins.
All right.
Well, it's a good thing that you have Brian here, and you should always listen to him, but you didn't today. It's a semi-long-haired Manx.
Damn it! That's not a cat. That's a terrible animal is what that is. Screw that cat. Dang it, Brian. I blew it for us.
That's all right. That's all right.
What are you going to do?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It is time for the morning news brought to you by...
Happy New Year! Looking for a nice, positive, fun podcast where ordinary people get to share their extraordinary stories? Come check out The Local Bar on the Pod Center with host Chad Alexander, Chad from SC, where he can make it to the tadpole or also the FU duct tape as a tool guy. That guy, I remember we played the audio of him.
Yep, he's great.
Whether you're looking for inspiration, enlightenment, or laughs, we hopefully can bring you one. Maybe. Hell, just give us a chance. Visit The Local Bar with Chad Alexander today.
Here you go.
Duct tape is a tool.
What is the Pod Center?
I don't know. Sounds like something from the podcast pickle days, doesn't it?
It does.
Podcast
Alley. Be on Pod Center.
Yeah, Pod Center. Or we're one position away from Keith and the girl. And we'd really like to.
Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
We're trying to be Free Talk Live.
Oh, good Lord.
Duct tape is a tool.
All right, duct tape is a pool. Twitter's committing a potential overhaul. Oh my. Oh goodness. Your tweets could soon be 10,000 characters long. That, by the way, is the current limit to your direct messages. Tweets are known for their brevity. I think that's the whole point. Anyway,
exactly.
As you can tell, I'm kind of against this from the get-go.
I'm against it too. I think that if you've got a limit of 140 characters, it makes you refine your thoughts much more, and I'm not going to sit there and scroll through some, you know, a Twitter feed with people who can type as much as they want.
No, we have places for this, guys. Yeah. We have lots of places for this. The thing that made Twitter interesting and take off is the thing you're discussing getting rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that isn't, I mean, there's a little bit of rumor around this, like in terms of, is it a feature you'd pay for? Is it an add-on? Is it just an extended way of saying, here's my short message, and then you link off to something longer, like Tweet Longer or Twit, whatever the hell those services are called? Could it be that, maybe? I don't know. But they're talking about this expansion to a 10,000 character length. The news was first reported by Recode, which said Twitter is targeting a launch date toward the end of the first quarter of this year for a product, quote-unquote, that would let users tweet much longer messages, according to multiple sources familiar with the company's plans. Same sources reference 10,000 characters as a potential new length limit, which is currently the maximum number you do in your direct messages, which we talked about before. Mm-hmm. It is internally referred to as the Beyond 140 program.
Jeez.
Beyond 140.
Beyond 140.
What do you think is on the other side of the 140?
I think if, you know, they should do this if they will randomly, after your first 140 characters, they reserve the right to randomly replace words in the text after the first 140 characters.
Business reporter Seth Figerman. I don't know how you say his name.
Fingerman.
He told CBS News this is his... I don't want to know his power, dude. I don't want to know what he does. His quote was this: well, I think this definitely represents a company that's moving away from its core principles a little bit here. Oh, you think? Why don't they quit this to ask me? I could have come up with a better quote. Anyway,
this is different from what they did before.
He says people have been using third-party tools like Twit Longer and some other stuff, and he says it's unknown whether allowing longer tweets would create a sea change in how people use Twitter. Well, of course it freaking would.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it freaking would.
Yeah.
You know, I think, let's see, what does he say? Oh, they've got 300 million users, respectable by any standard, but what Twitter wants to have. What? By any standard, but what Twitter wants to have. Oh, I see. They want more than that.
By any, respectable by any standard, but what Twitter wants to have. So,
they want more.
If TweetDeck were to come out and say, we're only going to show you the first 140 characters of anybody's tweets.
Well, TweetDeck owned by Twitter now, so that may not work.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
They bought them. They sucked them up.
Mm-hmm. And DJ Stangle says, that sure screws up our film sack segment.
Yeah, it does. Oh, my gosh.
We'll never get Randy to shut up.
We'll just say, we'll just change it to, I don't know. Say it in less words than, I don't know how we'd say it.
Yeah. But Twitter 1.0.
I feel like it is the defining feature. I don't understand why they're doing this. It's real weird to me. And I know there are smart people there. They might think they have an idea of what they're doing. Maybe it's, I mean, because this is all from sources. It's not official yet. They haven't laid out the plan. So we don't know. Maybe this just comes out as a, if you pay $2 a month, you can have this extended experience by making your tweets longer. And we'll store all that for you. And people can read your tweets if they want to read the longer, whatever. So like a headline and then a body or something. I don't know.
This just in, Facebook is announcing that they're switching to delivering printed sheets of paper on a daily basis.
Good.
6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
No, friend requests come by mail.
Perfect, yeah.
Remember me from high school? Please friend me. Here's a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Nice.
All right. Well, there's that. Voltron is.
There's stickers for you to put a like if you like it.
Yeah, if you like it. Little likes, little hands up stickers.
Right.
Oh, I love that idea. And then some spam links that are total link bait that mean nothing. How about that? Like, did you know Glenn is the same actor from Walking Dead that is the actor from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? Short round. Did you know that? No, because it's not true, you jackass. Facebook.
Comment. You write your comment underneath it and then put it back in the self-addressed stamped envelope and send it back.
Yep. Can you send me a photo of a dog with a piece of ham on its face and then have a bunch of ladies think that he's been injured and say, pray for this dog?
Oh, no. Really?
Did you hear about that?
No.
It's a dog with ham on its face. It just so happens that...
Just like a slice of lunch meat ham.
Yeah, lunch meat ham draped over its eyes. But it blends into its fur color, turns out, is very close to the color of his ham.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody saw this photo, thought it was funny, put it on Facebook, and then someone else took it and put some text on it that said, please help this poor dog who saved an entire family from a fire but ended up burning its face. Like total BS.
Oh my God.
And then like thousands of people on Facebook were like, yeah, this is terrible. They should be thrown in jail for what's going on here. This poor dog, he'll be in my prayers.
DJ Stiggle, is that the photo?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny? That's totally it, dude.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid. Facebook is stupid sometimes.
Right.
And I like it for connecting with people, but I do not like it for getting anything remotely like news of any sort. Forget it. Voltron getting rebooted.
John Voltron.
Please step forward. And Guillermo del Toro is helming a new series coming to Netflix. These are two separate things, but Netflix will be the home for The Defender of the Universe, a new original series from one of Hollywood's most imaginative directors, del Toro. This week, DreamWorks Animation announced plans to extend their deal to provide original content for the popular video service and identified a reboot of Voltron, the animated series, as a new project from acclaimed film director del Toro. Oh, I thought these were separate things. I guess not.
So it is going to be, so it's a Voltron.
Oh, and series. A new project. Okay, I'm putting them together, and I don't know why I'm doing that. Oh,
man, there's actually something kind of cool about a Guillermo del Toro Voltron show.
I agree. I would watch.
But we're not going to get it.
No,
so we're not. Get your hopes up.
The newly announced series are both expected to premiere in 2016, with the Voltron reboot offering reimagining. Great, of the popular. That always makes people nervous. Of the popular 1980s outer space adventure. Series featuring giant robotic lions piloted by a group of young heroes who can combine their respective powers into a single massive robot. Well, if that doesn't sell it, I don't know what else does.
The respective lions.
I was a big fan of that show.
Yeah, I actually remember watching a few of those.
It wasn't the big... Okay, Brian, just go back with me in time. Do you... I believe that the... Okay, so there's always, you know, big twist endings, you know, Sixth Sense sort of endings, right?
Sure.
And I feel like the very first one I ever saw was Voltron. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the main bad quote-unquote guy in Voltron at the end of that series was revealed to be a lady. And it was a huge deal.
Really?
So it's between this and finding out that Samus Aran
was a lady. Was a lady. Metroid?
From Metroid. Between those two, I think those may have been the first big shocker moments. Like, Luke, I'm your father deals. Before I saw Luke, I'm your father. Can you think of anything
Voltron
before that?
Voltron came out after that, though. Did after it? Empire Strikes Back. Sure.
Did it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't remember.
That was 80. Voltron had to be mid-80s.
Probably was. Was it? Yeah, you're probably... Oh, Star Blazers, Captain Kipper. I'm with you, dude. Star Blazers.
What? I'm trying to think of what...
Love Star Blazers.
The first twist ending I remember seeing was...
I just remember very specifically that like it was like Voltron. They're fighting this guy forever. He was like the what's the name of the one in G.I. Joe, the bad guy?
Snake?
No. He was a good guy.
It's Cobra.
Cobra Commander. Cobra Commander.
Yeah, he's a snake.
This guy was like Cobra Commander of that world. He was like the Cobra
face snake man.
He was like the Cobra Commander of Voltron. By the end, they ripped a helmet off or something, and it was a lady with long flowing hair in there. Mm. I remember that being a big deal. Cobra,
that tells you how much I watched. I didn't watch any G.I. Joe as a kid, so.
Whenever there's trouble,
I know he's a snake, right? He's got a silver face and a black suit, and he's a snake guy.
They gotta fight the silver face snake man.
Snake boss.
Snake boss. I like where your head's at right now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, watch for those two coming. We don't know a lot about Del Toro's Troll Hunters. This is an animated series as well. I didn't know that. Oh. A new fantastical world wrapped around two best friends who make a startling discovery beneath their hometown. So is this based on that Troll Hunters movie that's out, I wonder? Because there's a Troll Hunters movie. It's like a French film?
Right.
It's been on Netflix forever that my daughter says is really good and I still haven't seen.
I haven't seen it either.
Well, anyway. John Stamos in the news. That was appropriate. Because for what I'm going to talk about.
Right, okay.
He talks rehab and surprise pregnancy.
Oh,
surprise! Wow, I'm pregnant.
Surprise! Yeah, surprise! John Stamos is pregnant.
It's very pregnant or very surprising. John Stamos is coming clean about his personal life, including his recent DUI and surprise pregnancy in his 20s. They really need yeah, to. Yeah. They're
poorly worded. ABC News.
Really, really dumb. Anyway, quote: "I had a horrific DUI, which I am so embarrassed by." He told Howard Stern in an interview that aired Monday on Sirius XM. Sirius XM. Is that what they're called now?
Yeah. It's because they're merged and...
When did they do that? Why am I... I don't... I'm...
Oh, like 8-9 years ago, I think.
They merged?
Yeah.
Okay.
SiriusXM is all one thing now.
I always thought XM just went out of business.
No.
Okay. Well, good. Good for them.
Yeah.
It's some SiriusXM there. It says, I would have hurt somebody, or I could have hurt somebody. It was really stupid and ignorant of me, and I hate myself for that. I was bad. It was a bad, bad thing. It was a bad, bad thing.
It was a bad thing.
So I said to myself, I have to stop this up and down and up and down. I have to. Unquote.
Stop the up and down.
Stop the up and down.
And start in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. Stamos was sentenced to 3 years of probation and entered rehab in July of this year. After a month-long stay, he no longer drinks and is free of his former substance abuse problems. He was hooked on, I guess, antidepressants and the sleeping pill Ambien, which is weird to say because you can't technically be hooked on antidepressants. I've talked to people about this. It's a
really?
Like people in the know. They're not addicting. They do their thing. They change brain chemistry, but they're not like addictive drug. Therapeutic thing. I don't know why he's including that in there. Ambien, yes. Okay. You can get hooked on Ambien. That's true. Anyway, says he's back home and well after the DUI arrest. John Stamos says, quote, I'm back after leaving rehab. I don't really have anything to hide anymore, he told Stern. The former Full House star, age 52, still looks about 31 to me.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Was candid about what may have led to his substance abuse. My father passed away and I got divorced from Jessica Jones.
Rebecca
Stamos Jr. He said, it says right here, referring to his seven-year marriage to actress Rebecca Romaine, which ended in 2005. She has since changed her name to Rebecca Mixed Leaf.
Oh, okay.
I was going for a lettuce joke, but it didn't really work.
Gotcha. Rebecca Iceberg.
It said, it sent me down the wrong path, and she would no longer wear all the blue scales for me when I asked her to. Anyway, I guess he's feeling apologetic and wanting to get things going. And he's in that reboot of the Full House deal.
Of course he is.
Which the twins want nothing to do with, I've heard. They're not in it. The
Ashley
the Olsen
and Mary-Kate.
Yeah, yeah. Not that they need them both now. Because, I mean, the only reason you needed them both.
It was a requirement, a baby requirement.
Yeah.
You had to have two of them playing it. To, well, you just couldn't have a baby working those long hours. So twins worked perfectly because you could alternate them.
Here's the thing I want to say about the Olsen twins. One day they will be studied by professionals because think about what they are. They are these twin sisters whose entire world started as infant babies with no idea what's going on around them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they were literally birthed into a quote unquote starring role in a popular television sitcom in the early 90s. And then grew up through that, playing one another as needed, and then became like weird direct-to-video thing stars for a while, and then became, ooh, are they 18 yet? Hubba hubbas.
Mm-hmm.
And now are just kind of weird. I think there's something to be studied there about, like, what is that upbringing? What is that exactly? Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I totally know what you mean.
I mean, I don't know. I have zero idea what her home life was like. Their sister's really good. What's her name? Scarlet Witch.
Elizabeth Olsen.
She's fantastic.
She's great, yeah.
But she also didn't grow up on camera, you know? She got to be a young adult or even an adult before she really broke out and did anything. So I just wonder what that is in your life. What does that mean? What does that mean for, like, how are you shaped by that? That's just interesting to me. There's no judgment about it. I'm just really interested in it. Like, what's that like? Truman Show says gutter is a tool.
No, kind of. Yeah, right.
Kind of, a little bit.
The constant constant scrutiny.
Yeah.
Public eye.
Yeah. And they've got a ton of money. They never lived a life without just a crap ton of money that came from doing things as babies where they didn't even know they were doing it.
Right.
That's so weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just a curious thing. It's neither up or down. Hey, Kanye West just went up a few points in my book. Do you want to know why?
Tell me why.
Because he auditioned for American Idol.
What? Really?
Yep. Right there.
Currently, this isn't like an old...
Nope. This week.
Okay.
I'm going to play some video. You ready for that?
Yeah.
Here you go. This is him.
Tell us your name. Where are you from?
My name is Kanye. I'm from the south side of Chicago.
Right on. What do you do there, Kanye?
Originally a producer, I always wanted to rap and nobody really believed in me.
I hope that works out, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck
with all that.
Yeah.
So are you nervous?
I am. I'm not nervous.
Well, there's Kim Kardashian really in the back there talking to the...
Did you give advice before?
I didn't give any advice on singing, rapping. I just, you know, I hope they really believe in him.
It could go either way.
Okay. What are you going to do for us today?
All right.
I just wanted to do something original. It has one of the judges' names in it, so.
Okay, let's see.
All right.
Better f-
Cutie the bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Fars, girls, you gotta fly, I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psyche told me she have an ass like Serena, Trina, Gina, for Lopez. Four kids and I gotta take all they bad to show.
All right, freaking, that's all I can take.
Jeez.
Anyway, he went up a few points for me because I kind of think that's funny to have him show up and do that. And to know this, Brian.
Yeah.
If that was real, if this was an actual, like...
They would have laughed him out of there so quickly.
He wouldn't have been there. They would have They would have said, well, thanks, good job.
He would actually probably wouldn't have made it through the first set of producers that he has to go through before he can even make it to the...
Yeah. And before you get all pissed at me, everyone out there, let me remind you that I think the same thing about most artists. I think most artists don't make the cut on American Idol because that's not what they're looking for. You couldn't have... I don't know. Think of anyone. David Gilmour from Pink Floyd.
Right.
Laughed out of the room. Bob Dylan. Oh, my gosh.
They would have laughed Bob Dylan out of that room, too.
Hey.
Elvis Costello.
Yep. No Elvis Costello. Nobody who's good would be going on to the next step.
Jeez. So who are the judges now? I guess Jennifer Lopez.
She's in there, and they have brought back Simon Pegg or whatever his name. Simon.
Oh, Simon.
I thought so, didn't they? Do not have really? That right. I thought that was right.
Simon Cowell is back in. If he's in.
Well, it's their final season. So they're done after this.
Is Randy
this.
Back?
No, Randy's. Listen, dog. He's not back, dog.
It's too bad it's not. You know, if it were Simon, Randy, and Paula, I might have watched up through the Hollywood round.
Yeah, that would have been okay, maybe. I don't
know. I love the Hollywood round. Because it's every single time it's the same. It's all these people who grew up watching the show, who grew up watching American Idol, so they know the deal. But they always come in there and say, well, no, I'm actually more of a solo performer. I don't need, you know, I don't need a band. I don't need singers with me. And they always end up on their own. They always end up sucking because they can't get other people to work with them. And they always end up leaving. And yeah. And they see it. They have to have seen it in previous seasons. But
yeah, I like the William Hung round. That's the round I like.
Yeah, the William Hung. Exactly.
That's my favorite round. All right, we're going to take a break, after which Brian will no longer be here. But
that's
before
right.
he
I will
leaves.
Mysteriously disappear during
right.
the next song.
Important phone calls must be had, but we'll continue on. We have recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, an email. And Brian may be back depending on how long his email goes.
Yep.
Or his email, his phone call goes. But before all that, he's got a song to dedicate, and he'll do it now.
That's right. Timothy wrote in, said, "Dear Scott and Brian, I've been consuming your wonderful podcast since you launched it back in January of 2011. This is my first time writing in, and the reason is to thank you. My wife and I recently had a beautiful baby girl. I don't get a chance to listen to your show every day, so when I'm sleep-deprived, up in the middle of the night, I like to put on your show to keep me company and keep me awake. Nice. Thanks for putting out such wonderful material and helping me through those long nights."
Nice.
He requested any Coheed and Cambria cover or whatever it is I'm digging these days. I'm going to go with the latter because I have played, I think, just about all of the Coheed and Cambria covers. I had to look back in the list. It's like, yep, played that one. So I'm going to go with the second option, which is whatever I'm digging these days. Right now, I've been listening to a lot of a Berkeley, California pop band called the Rubinews. Not a household name yet, but they had a little publicity a few years ago when Avril Lavigne released the song Girlfriend. Hey, I want to be your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was very close to their song, I Want to Be Your Boyfriend, like eerily close. And they had a lawsuit. They settled out of court and got them a little bit of notoriety then. But for the most part, these guys have been releasing music since the 70s and really, really good pop music. In 2003, they released an album called Crimes Against Music and featured a bunch of great covers on there, including this one, originally done by the band Looking Glass. This is a favorite of mine. It is Brandy.
Come on. Hello there on this morning before Turkey Day. Glad you could find time to join us.
Will you quit horsing around?
The Morning Stream, the next best thing since sliced bread.
And we're back. Well, I'm back. Brian's not back. He's on a phone call of some sort. Well, we're going to let him languish for years. I don't know why I said that. Let's get Nicole in here. We got recommendals. We go on. We go on without him. While he talks to whoever he's talking to about whatever he's talking to him about. We do our thing. We make it happen. We live. I heard a weird noise. Hello, Nicole Spagnuolo. What's going on?
Hello.
How the heck are you?
I'm good. Why does it say Brian Inbit was unable to join the call as they need to update Skype?
No, he's out. He's on a phone call today.
Oh.
So that's why. So that's why he cannot answer this call. he is. He may pop in. We're hoping it's a short call, but he had some client thing that come up, so he was only here till the top of the hour. Now he's not.
Aww.
I know. We have to do recommendals without him.
What the heck?
I know. It's almost it's
you
enough.
You picked my movie. I mean, so it doesn't really matter.
It'd be ironic if I picked your movie too, wouldn't it? Did you so we haven't told people the cool way that we picked this week. That game you recommended to us. Tell us the name of it again and how you decided to do the theme this week, cuz I think it's awesome.
So the game is called Double Feature and has a bunch of different cards, and the idea is that when you're playing it as a game, you flip these cards over and you come up with a movie that meets the criteria of the card, and I think the first person that gets the movie and is, because there's like a director, so I'm considered the director.
Ooh,
right now,
I like so. That. So you laid out these two cards, and one of them said from Shakespeare, from a comic or a comic book, or from what was the third thing?
Shakespeare, comic book, or the Bible.
Oh, the Bible, that's what it was. Yeah. And then the other card that you augmented it with was it needed to be a tragedy.
Tragedy.
So that was interesting because when I saw that, I went, oh man, it seems like we've made it easy, but we've kind of made it hard.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that because I like the challenge.
I decided to do this, I think, for a little while. I'm going to pull a couple cards after we're done. We'll have next week's theme too.
I like this a lot. So it's pretty cool. I'll play mine since Brian isn't here in the order we usually do them. And I have to cheat a tiny bit because it was streaming and then just recently got pulled.
Oh,
at the new year. However, it is still a rentable, streamable thing. You know, pay $2 at Amazon and rent it or whatever. So I think it still counts as a thing you could stream. But here is here's my clip, and you see if you can guess what it is.
Cool.
I need a different approach. Okay, here we go. Don't be creepy, don't be creepy, don't be creepy.
Okay, it's kind of short. But any ideas? That voice, I will tell you, here's a hint. The voice of that actor you just heard usually is he's British, so you usually hear either his British voice or he recently did an Australian accent in a film, or previous to that was a big blue guy in a X-Men film. That may help. And also, it's one of these movies where you'd be like, really? That was based on a, like, I'll give you another hint. It's based on a Shakespeare play.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a tragedy in a couple of ways.
It's not Hamlet, is it?
Nope.
No, because that's streaming.
No.
I don't know. Tell me.
Here's the movie.
It sounded familiar.
It's
but...
Warm Bodies. Did you see Warm Bodies?
Yes, I did see Warm Bodies.
Yeah, the Zambie there. The Zambie who learns to be more human. And I would say one of my favorite first halves to a movie I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that movie.
I was incredibly disappointed by the latter part. It just felt super phoned in and too easy. It was just like, oh, here's a big action scene and a bunch of craziness. And like the resolution at the end is kind of cool.
That was streaming?
It was for a while. Yeah. Aww. I know. It's good. It's really good. It is based on the Shakespeare play. Hold on. I got to find it.
It is.
Based on Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, that makes sense.
You'll even note that the characters in the show are Nicholas Hoult plays... Or Holt, however you say his name. He played, where is it? I can't find the name. Oh, he plays the zombie named R, short for Romeo. And the woman who he can never be with, or he at least thinks so, is Juliet, right?
Oh, there we go.
And then Rob Corddry's character, His name is Marcus, which sounds a lot like Mercutio, or however you say his name.
Mercutio.
So very, very much in the vein of that whole thing. Two parties who can never be together but love each other.
I had no idea on that movie because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome for especially that first half. Really, really good. I think missed opportunities when they got all actiony and dumb. But the first part was really compelling. It's a great take on the zombie stuff and also a nice twist on the Romeo and Juliet thing. So recommend it. And if you haven't seen it when it was streaming or when it was in theaters, you can get it for like, you know, $3 on all the streaming services.
Yeah, I think I even rented it when I first watched it because I had seen the previews. I'm like, oh, that looks like a fun, different take on zombies.
Yeah, and Holt's really good in it. He's their Hout, however you say his name. He's great in a lot of things. I think that guy's awesome and would watch him in a lot of things. He's even in a thing I can't talk about, but he's great, that guy. Nicole, let's hear yours. What do you got for me? What do you got there?
Okay. I think I hit two of our criteria. Okay. Actually, three. So tragedy, Bible, and comic book.
Oh, whoa. All right.
So here's my clip.
Okay.
Lou, what took you so long? Hello, John. John, hello. You're the one soul I would come up here to collect myself. So I've heard. Mind? Oh, go right ahead. I've got stock. Coffin now. Very fitting, John. You know, when you cut too deep, you cut the tendon. Finger movement goes out the window. Let me help you.
Do you recognize it yet?
No, it's ringing a bell, though. There's something about it.
Do you recognize the actor?
No. Gerbs? No.
See? Sonny, I've got a whole theme park full of red lights for you. Aren't you a peach?
You didn't get that one?
No.
That was Keanu Reeves.
Oh, is this, this is not My Own Private Idaho, the other one.
No. Bible comic book.
Wait. Oh, shite. Oh wait, is this the one where his dog gets killed?
No.
What is it? Which one? What am I? What is it?
This is it came out in 2005.
Okay, wait, stop.
He smokes cigarettes.
Yeah, a lot of cigarettes.
He collects demons.
Oh, it's freaking Constantine.
There you go.
Or Tyne, however people say it.
I say Constantine.
Okay, yeah, now I remember. That's why that was all familiar.
Streaming on Netflix right now.
That's a stupid fun movie. I like it.
It is stupid fun. I forgot that Shia LaBeouf is in it too.
No, I try to always forget the things he's in, but no, he's all right. I give him more crap than he deserves.
Tilda Swinton is in it as well.
Yeah.
She plays the half-breed Gabriel.
Yeah, she's cool.
So is the lead singer of Bush.
Whoa.
David Brosnell.
Oh, the was married to no doubts Gwen Stefani there for 10 years or whatever. They just divorced.
He plays a half breed as well, demon.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah,
it's cool. It is based on a comic. You're right, and it is based on biblical stuff. Man, that's a good one.
Yeah, I know. I was like, whoa.
And it's streaming, and it's a bit of a tragedy. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm super impressed actually that you found it. I looked around, so what I was trying to find some, like, there's so many Othello stuff that I thought I was going to find one of those. Nothing streaming, because I've seen a lot of that stuff. I thought that maybe there's a Keanu Reeves one that is another one that's based on this. The one where he was in with, what's his name? River Phoenix, before River Phoenix died.
Oh, My Private Eye.
That's the one. And that's based on some, it's like Titus or something. I don't remember which play it's based on, but it's based on some Shakespeare play, and it's way tragedy. Like, it's perfect. But how you somehow roped all the things into one, that's damned impressive.
Well, it wasn't all the things.
Well, many of the things.
Didn't have, what was the third criteria?
It was comic book?
Comic book, Bible, or Shakespeare. So.
Oh, no, Shakespeare, you're right.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Shakespeare was involved in Constantine.
Well, at least yours was streaming on a service that people subscribe to. So that's.
I remember people kind of poo-pooing this movie too.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, at the time nobody liked it. I think that it's. I think over time it holds up as. I mean, no one's going to look at it and go, "Wow, what an incredible film." But I think
it made a mark on our society.
Yeah, but I look at it and go, "Well, that was just lots of fun and ridiculous and over the top and great action and." You know, I never saw the Constantine show that was on for briefly a little while.
Did you read the comic books?
I did. Yeah, I like that stuff. Mark read those, didn't he? He used to talk about those.
I remember. I think so. I think that's how I realized it was a comic.
Yeah, based off of the comic. I think Mark was into that stuff for a while. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it again, knowing
it's there. And the priest that tips him off when he finds a demon.
Yeah.
He can speak. I guess he has voices in his head, and that's why he drinks. Mm-hmm. But that is the actor that played, was it the movie Identity?
Oh,
where he was schizo.
Right. Like, what's that guy's name? Crap.
Yeah. I had it right here.
I should know this.
Pruitt-Taylor Vince.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of a different Identity movie. I'm thinking of the John Cusack one.
No, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Is that the one? What's his name then?
Yeah.
What'd you say the guy's name was? The name? Not John Cusack, but the other guy.
Taylor Vince.
Taylor Vince. I don't see his name on here. I can't picture him. But Identity's a cool movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie.
Yeah, I like the poster because there's a handprint and the fingers look like people. It's weird. Anyway. People. Good. I like this one a lot. So do your business here. Shuffle your cards or however you do it and tell us what our theme is.
I have a bunch of different categories I can choose from.
Okay.
I was thinking of choosing this week from props and theme and genre.
All right. I like that.
All right. Let me
Props could be like lightsaber or whatever, right? Like it could be.
Great. The theme is horror or suspense.
Love it.
And then the prop that needs to be in the movie. Mm-hmm. A cat, a dog, or a dinosaur?
Cat, dog, or dinosaur.
I'll take a picture of it and send it to you guys.
I mean, you could argue that Jurassic Park is a horror movie or a suspenseful film.
That is suspenseful.
Sure, but I can think of a few cat and dog ones too. I don't think it's that hard. I think we can do that.
Benji, maybe? No.
Yeah, Benji's a horror film. Horrible dog. Always fun. I love these. These are great. Yeah. Brian was sad that he couldn't participate today because it was going to be our first foray into this new way of picking films, but he'll be back next week with something fantastic, I'm sure.
He had something picked out, too.
Yeah, I think he did. He didn't say, though, so we'll have to... The mystery lives on.
All right.
Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Nicole, always a pleasure. Have a great time. Say hi to the babies. And, well, one's not so much of a baby anymore, but, you know.
No, he's not. He's four.
Yeah. I'd say, I really meant Mark, but it's fine. Don't tell Mark I said that. We'll see you later. All right. Time is it now? I know what time it is now. It's Ace Detect time. This guy, I have to talk to him later. It's not like it all ends right now. It goes on and becomes even more powerful than before.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom Merritt.
Well, hello, Scott Johnson. Where'd my video get? There you go.
Oh, there you are. I see you. Are you recovered from your little trippy there? You got all your hours back? And
Yeah, it took a while to recover from that horrible, relaxing vacation.
In Hawaii for like 2 weeks or something like that. That was crazy. That's awesome. I'm
almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, something like that. You were anything of note happened that is hilarious and up to TMS standards as far as things happening to people, or was it all pretty not eventful and nice?
Well, two things. One, we recorded an episode of Sword and Laser because Veronica and her husband Ryan were on vacation at the same time on purpose.
Yeah.
So that's up today. That just went up last night.
Oh yeah, I saw that pop on my feed this morning. Yeah. So. Yeah.
But TMS worthy was the monk seal coming to the beach. And the monk seal, it looks like a really cute mammal. And it's also really powerful and doesn't like people coming near it. So they started telling people, stay away from the monk seal.
The monk seal. I don't even know what that looks like.
It's just a big seal.
Yeah.
Okay. You do a Google image search. You'll be like, oh, yeah, it's a big old seal. Big seal. Eileen got pushed away from the beach because some volunteer was saying, it wants to come to the beach. You're standing in its way, because she was Snapchatting the monk seal.
Oh.
But the best part was people trying to walk on these rocks to get back to the beach, and the lifeguard saying, it is a lot safer and easier to walk on the sand than the rocks.
Yeah.
You have been warned. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
And that was it?
That was it.
I love it. Yeah. That's hilarious. I'm now looking at a monk seal compared to a person. These are those ones you see in videos that are like, yep. Like big scary, throbbing blobs of goo on the beach. Well, good.
Yeah, and they do great calligraphy. A lot of hand copying.
I like their jams. Their jams and jellies are really good.
Yeah. They do some brewing.
Sure. They all get together and chant. That's fantastic. Those monk seals.
Oh, yeah. Love their CDs.
Yeah, they're really good. Better than you think. Well, Tom, it's back to the norm for you, and that means all sorts of technology swirling about. Things happening this week, especially with CES. What's happening today? I'm on with you later, and I can't wait to talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to have Patrick Norton on Daily Tech News Show today.
Yeah.
I'm getting his take on CES, which will be fun. The Oculus Rift just went up for sale. Did you order one yet?
I have not yet. All right. This is kind of dumb, but I did not get in on the Kickstarter back in the day. There were lots of reasons why I didn't. I was actually very skeptical then. Now I think this stuff's full on going to be great. But I, at the time, didn't think, well, it's not worth my $300 or whatever to figure this out.
Understandable.
Yeah. But a fan sent me his. He had done that, bought in, and sent me his when he was, I guess, done with it and said,
he played around with it.
Yeah. He says, have this. So now there's some talk that he is interested in also giving me his now free one, which got announced.
Oh, so yeah, because Oculus is, if anybody doesn't know, they're going to send all the people who backed their Kickstarter at the level $250 or more, which was enough to get the original developer kit, a second one, the final shipping version.
Yeah, that is a pretty awesome surprise. I don't think anyone expected that.
Now, is he going to play with it first and then send it to you?
Yes. My understanding is that he... Well, okay. So we haven't been able to communicate directly, but if I were him, I would want him to play with it until he is sick of it, because I don't want to be that guy who says...
Why haven't you communicated directly? Is it like a Shazam thing? You have to go to the Council of Elders in your mind?
I need your axe and his bow, and then I can go. But I sent him an email, so we've initiated contact, but I have not heard anything back.
Gotcha.
So I guess what I'm saying is the reason I put off any kind of pre-order is that. But also, let's say that doesn't happen. I'm not convinced that of the three devices... Well, first of all, I'm not convinced I'm going to have all three, because that seems crazy, and I'm in no position to sort of do that kind of thing and test all three. It's very expensive. Sorry. That's true. I could probably write all that off. But
You totally could.
But I'm not convinced that the Oculus is going to be the big deal that Oculus thinks it will. The Vive is very interesting to me on a lot of fronts that the Oculus has yet to address, with some control, stabilization, and frame rate issue stuff, as well as what Sony has up their sleeve. So I guess I'm in a weird wait and see mode.
Yeah.
Because now everyone talks about how they're trying to avoid the format wars here by not creating another console cycle, where everyone's just all about exclusives and then, nobody's sure what to do and you end up having another war. I would really like to see that avoided, but I don't know how we can. We got three devices that will probably be in the same price range, all with different strengths and weaknesses, and now we're all going to have to make a decision based on that, because most people aren't going to be able to buy all three and enjoy all three. And in the case of the Vive and the Oculus, they're going to have a lot of shared experiences. There's going to be a lot of games, VR experiences and films and things that are just going to be on both. So I don't know, man. I feel a little
that
weird.
That all makes sense from a consumer point of view.
Right.
I would say you should probably get on this train for podcasting reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I'm half joking around about the business expense, but you could justify it as, I need to have these to explain to people why they shouldn't have them, right?
Right.
Even if they don't end up being that great. Anthony Carboni on Twitter was just doing a little bit of a mini tweet storm about how he thinks Sony is in the driver's seat now because we skipped a few details here, but you can pre-order the Rift now for $599. Mm-hmm. It puts you in line for the upcoming controller, but you do get an Xbox One controller, you do get the microphone, and you do get the little remote, so you can play with it. It gives you access to Eve Valkyrie, gives you a free game. I always forget the name of that silly game. Mm-hmm. Something about Tails.
Something about Tails.
Yeah.
Lucky's
Tale.
Lucky's Tale.
Yeah, you get that's your combat for the Oculus Rift. So, you know, it's not ridiculous. I thought it was going to be more expensive for some reason. It's still more expensive than the developers' kits were, but it's also more polished and you get more stuff and you get a little case.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have to buy a new PC if you haven't bought a new gaming PC within the last year or so. And they've got all the specs up on Oculus's blog post about this. Shipping is March 28th, although by the time I ordered mine this morning, it had moved to April.
Yeah, mine says
so
May.
They're going fast.
Mine says May now.
Now, here's the thing. Really? It's already to May.
Yeah.
Wow. And going back to what I said about Carboni, I think he nailed it when he said, look, Sony's in the driver's seat here because they could put this thing out for less than $600. And with a lot of people already having PS4s because they've sold very well, even if you haven't got a PS4, you could probably justify saying, look, let's say Sony puts it out for $400,
yeah,
the PlayStation VR. You buy a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation VR, you're still well under what it costs to buy a Rift and a new gaming PC.
No, you're totally right. And not only that, you've already got the one half taken care of. In the Oculus proposal, you still have to kind of make a consideration and say, well, is my PC up to snuff? Oh, it's not? All right, well, I need that $400 video card at least, or whatever,
yeah,
to get us up to spec. And multiple, you know, USB 3 ports and things your computer may not have if it's a couple of years old.
Yeah, GTX 970 or an AMD R9 290.
Yeah.
Not even close. I'm in the 400s with my gaming PC, which works great.
Yeah.
I'm actually
positioned well in terms of that stuff. I've got a 980 Ti and, you know, I'm pretty on the cutting edge and have everything I'd need on the PC side.
It's
I guess
the graphics card. I mean, 8 gigs of RAM, if you have a gaming PC, probably you should have got 8 gigs of RAM,
but
you can upgrade that. Intel i5 4590 or better processor, that shouldn't be too bad. HDMI 1.3 could be a hang up for some people. USB 3.0 ports could be a hang up for some people. But really, it's that GTX 970 or better.
I guess I'm just not thrilled with... I guess I thought the price would be lower. I don't know why I thought it was going to be...
Oh, I thought it was going to be higher.
Yeah, and I thought like 300. I don't know where my head
crazy.
Was.
I was saying like $1,200.
Yeah,
I don't know what's wrong.
And that... I mean, obviously, we're in the middle of what we both thought, but
yeah.
I wonder if Oculus knows, I think they know, that they've got a couple of things going. They've got their deal with Samsung, and that is for people who've got that phone, the Note, can go and just get this thing, and they have Gear VR, right?
Right.
It's an Oculus product in conjunction with Samsung. It's cool. By all accounts, it actually works really well. It's a super neat, much less cost sort of entry-level type arrangement. So they've got that side of things that nobody else seems to be competing in right now. And then you flip it over to the high-end side, which they know is going to be people like, you know, cutting-edge gamers and people who want to be on the front line of this thing. They're going to be willing to pay that $600. I think it's 2-3 years down the road when we start to see Oculus Rift products slimmer, smaller, and in the $300 range. But I think right now they know they're strategically knowing that it's that they may as well go a little higher. You know what I mean? Like they didn't need to undercut anybody. But this could be Sony chewing everybody's cheese at the end of the day. Because, look, some people will say, well, yeah, but the PlayStation's not up to any kind of like awesome specs or anything. It's not kind of like an older PC. It doesn't matter. This thing running on a piece of dedicated hardware, and by all accounts, by everyone I've talked to who's used it, we're all extremely impressed with what they've been able to push out of that thing. With the PlayStation VR, that they have a real chance here.
When you set it up like that, it makes perfect sense. You've got your introductory level with the Gear VRs of the world. You've got your mid range with the PlayStation VR, mm-hmm. and then you've got the Oculus Rift at the high end. Remains to be seen whether Vive kind of slots in between the PlayStation and the Oculus, or whether it's more of an Oculus direct competitor. But you've got all levels of the market covered. So really, none of these have to fail. That's like saying, PCs, consoles, and handheld gaming devices will never exist side by side. Well, of course they did. You can argue what the long-term prospects are for each of those formats now, mm-hmm. but for decades, we've had reason to have all three. And I think maybe that's what we're seeing reflected in VR right now. I think what's more interesting to think about is, will this continue to be gaming driven and reflect that gaming universe reality even as that reality changes, or will this become used for wider purposes, previously unimagined purposes, and start striking out on its own? And which of these formats is best for those unforeseen uses?
Yeah, I'm very curious about how this all plays out. And if I were Vive/Valve/HTC right now, I would be thinking very quickly and hard about how do you answer this pre-order and price. Do you come out and undercut that? Do you immediately turn around and say, don't
the
order
HTC Vive for $598?
Could be, but at the very least, can they come out and say, well, all right, we need to kind of get ahead of this, because most people, even the cutting edge guys, aren't going to get both a Rift and a Vive, a lot of them. So you're going to lose out to some sales here if they don't say something. They got to say something.
And that was the big thing, right? Was Vive was going to come out by the holidays and beat everybody to the punch. And then in classic Valve fashion, it got delayed. And now Oculus is getting the first round of orders from people. Mm-hmm. I wonder what effect that will have on the Vive. It's still getting great reviews. The new version has more customizability, has the ability to see the room around you, which the Rift doesn't. Mm-hmm. So there's some great advantages to it. But yeah, I still can't order one.
Business expense. I'm doing it right now.
You really should. I'm telling you, it's irresponsible of you to your audience not to.
Oh, Brian, Wild Brian has appeared.
I just didn't want to interrupt.
Brian,
what are we buying?
The Oculus Rift.
Well, you didn't kickstart. You're not going to get yours for free.
No, I did. Long story. I didn't do it. A fan sent me his dev kit one, and so I just never did it. I shouldn't have done that in the first place, because I'm guessing he's going to keep his. But I don't know, man. Like, it just feels like I want the Vive to be... I wanted a day where they both came out and said, here's our price, here's our release, here's our pre-orders. Mm-hmm. So that you could make an informed choice, yeah. Right. Or a more informed choice.
Socialized virtual reality, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, my feeling is that...
Single-payer VR.
Palmer Luckey could power my car just with his excitement, right? Like, that guy's jazzed to the hilt. But what I'm hearing about the Vive, and what I know about the way Valve works with their VR initiative, is also extremely intriguing. But the idea of spending, you know, a couple of grand just to figure out which one's better is daunting.
That's why they have Scott Johnson to spend that money for them.
Yes, I guess so. You're the worst little devil on my shoulder I've ever had today. You're just sitting there going, get it, Scott, get it, bro.
Yeah, but just think when you start VR boop, it's all gonna pay off.
It's all gonna be worth it.
It'll be Boop VR. That sounds better.
Yeah.
Booper.
We'll talk about this surely and other CES things that have happened since today and yesterday. There's been a lot of interesting stuff, and I can't wait to have Patrick on. He's awesome.
Yeah,
that'll be
he's
today.
Been covering the show floor for Tech Thing, and a few other outlets that he's been working for. So it's always good to get his bird's eye view, because he's been doing this for a decade. He knows the things that are always there and maybe grabbing headlines when they shouldn't, like rollable screens is my big bugaboo this year.
Really?
Okay, LG's got a rollable screen now. They didn't before, but other people have. Show me a shipping product, please.
Yeah, show me something that'll ship. And also, I want to talk about refrigerators later, so we'll get to that.
Yes, that always.
Roll up refrigerators.
2:30 Mountain Time, right there at the DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Yes.
Tom Merritt, anything else happening that you'd like to mention as you shake the sand from your shoes?
As we've mentioned before in the show, you've heard us talk about Citadel 32, the book with the cover by Scott Johnson.
Yep.
And of course, you can buy a print version of that, which you should, because the cover's awesome. And you might even like the story inside. It's post-apocalyptic, some stuff happening on Earth, but a stranded moon colony that still has tech, but they can't connect with Earth. That's the story. And the ebook just got a price drop from $3.99 down to $2.99. I dropped the price while doing Cord Killers on Monday.
On air? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, actually.
So check that out. If you got an Amazon gift card, maybe burning a hole in your pocket from the holidays, that could be something that won't eat it all up.
Seems like a steal, does it not?
And
it
you still get the Scott Johnson art.
Yeah, always. It's worth $2 at least.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, today, 2:30. Be there, everybody. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure.
Happy New Year. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's glad good to see you too. Glad you made it back to the mainland.
Yes.
And hope you
welcome back from the island, Mom.
Yeah. And they're Jamaicans on Hawaii?
Okay. Yes, I'm retiring from tech news and I'm just going to do a reggae podcast.
Great. Perfect.
All right, dude. Reggae stay covers. Out of trouble. We'll see you at 2:30. Brian. Yeah. Brian, you're back.
I'm back.
Yay. You missed our movie recommendations. I want to hear what yours was going to be. Did you have one in
mine
mind?
Mine was probably going to be the Hamlet thing with Ethan Hawke.
Oh, that one's all right. Yeah.
It's all right. It wasn't great, if I remember, but I would have watched it last night and then been able to talk about it. So instead, I watched more of Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
So that was actually better.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. He talked me into doing a thing that I... Wait, did this go through? Let's see if it went through.
Did your purchase go through?
I'm checking. Shipping's $30 on that thing. I don't know why I'm nitpicking about $30, but...
This is just right.
It should be, yeah, and it should be a business expense. I'm totally with him. I get it.
And it's $3.99?
No, $5.99.
Oh, $5.99.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's expensive.
Phew, I couldn't do it.
What is the Oculus? Reserve your space in line for Oculus Touch. What is that? What does that mean?
It's where it feels like somebody's touching you when you have your Oculus Rift on in an appropriate place.
All right. I'm going to, what does that mean? Reserve your space in line for Oculus Touch. What is Oculus Touch, you guys? What is that freaky? Oh, there's an error. A device not been authorized for use for the FCC. May not be offered. Okay. Whatever.
So I know your recommendation was Warm Bodies. What was Nicole's?
Nicole's was... Oh, I already forgot. Oh, Constantine, because it was biblical.
Oh, right.
It was...
And comic book, too.
Tragedy, comic
Wasn't
book.
Wasn't Constantine? Yeah.
But it was not Shakespeare. It's the only thing it didn't match.
Oh, it didn't have to be all of those.
No, it had to be one of those plus the others. But she was trying to get all.
Oh, geez.
To kind of show us up or whatever.
Well, that's going to be tough with cat, dog, and dinosaur.
Yeah. Mine had three of the... Wait, did it have three of the four? Yeah, no, it had everything that we... Everything but Bible and currently streaming. It has been pulled from streaming. So you
oh, really? Warm Bodies is based on a comic?
Yeah. Well, no, it's based on Shakespeare. It's a Romeo and Juliet.
So no comic.
Yeah, Julie and R are their names.
Yes, right.
And they're forbidden love. Brian, now that you're here, let's just do an email.
Sure.
Did your call go okay? Everything was fine?
Yeah, it went fine. Okay. They promised some things that I'm hoping we can deliver, and it should be fun. I'll find out after the show today if it's something that can technically be done.
Nice. Token blind guy wrote in.
Okay.
So he says his name is. Says, hi, guys. Listening to your first show of the year, and I'm irritated and not at you.
Good.
For once, he says.
Thank you for that.
He says, I wanted to share 2 points and let you go back to your day. Since I can't make them in the writers or make them at the writers or listeners, you get to read this. On voices, because someone does a voice doesn't mean they are saying everyone of that persuasion sounds like that. What they are doing is invoking a feeling by using the voice. In our heads, that is what somebody sounds like. If we invoke the same relationship with the voice, then we have succeeded. It is not derogatory unless it's meant to be. I wish we could get over seeing voices as anything but evoking feelings or memories. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And from a blind guy, he probably has more connection to that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he understands that maybe more intrinsically than even you and I do, because we do so much of that visually. Anyway, also on a show where you do voices of people, I find it interesting that people point out certain voices you do. Then there is the point. I think it's point, right?
Yeah.
That if someone sounds like the voice you do, now that can be insulting. Or if people understand the voice you are doing, it's specified. What?
Or
specific to a person or a person that is not on them, and then drop their own bias. It's hard to read a little bit because I think he's dictating this.
Right.
Because he's blind. Second, dressing up as a woman, beard or not, does not make you a homosexual.
Correct.
Well, I know that. I think some of our listeners may not. In fact, a vast number, everyone that I know of, in fact, of drag queens or cross-dressers are not actually gay. Instead, they are straight and for some reason of their own choice, decide to wear clothing that our society accepts they should wear. I think he meant the opposite. Anyway, now to be controversial, I would rather see bearded men in a dress as women than seeing anyone wear pants that sag. Token blind guy.
You can't argue with that either. That's
It's a hard email to read, but it's obviously I don't blame him. That's the way. Yes. That's probably the way that works. Anyway, thanks for the feedback. And actually, we've gotten some great feedback on both those subjects since my rant yesterday. So thank you all for doing that. More soon. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support this show and keep it afloat. If you like it at all and you think, man, this might be worth like $1 or $2 a month.
Yeah, $2 a month.
Imagine that. It's nothing.
Put that in your budget for 2016. $2 a month to TMS to make sure these guys stay on the air.
Keep us on the air, man. Patreon.com/TMS. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. You can email us just like that guy did at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. As always, leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. On Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morningstream. And as always, our Reddit is available for everyone at frogpants.reddit.com. I'm so glad you're here because you get to do the final request song that I was going to do, but now you get to do it.
I also get to tell you that there is a Coverville today.
Oh, good.
Celebrating the birthday of Bernard Sumner. He's a lead vocalist for, or one of the guys behind, I shouldn't say lead vocalist, one of the guys behind the band New Order. Mm. So it's going to be another New Order cover story. And also a tribute to Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead. We lost him last week. And so we're going to have a couple sets of Motorhead covers.
Nice.
That aren't all Ace of Spades, amazingly enough.
That's probably good.
It is good, for sure. That. All right. Final song request here going out to Superbot. Says, hey, Strength and Brawn. My birthday is on the 6th of January, and requesting an awesome cover is fast becoming a tradition. Since my birthday is so early in the year and New Year's resolutions naturally make me think of fitness, I figured I'd dedicate my birthday request to all the great folks who push us to be better. Thanks, Bill Duran, JJ, and Renee Valentine, and the entire Frog Pants Lose It group. I promise I'll work harder this year. That said, I'd like to request a cover of Daft Punk's Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, Please No Kanye. If that doesn't work, I'm sure you can find something to fit the sentiment. If all else fails, maybe...
this?
A tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
All right.
Maybe Boodle Deedle Doo by Jury.
Damn it!
These are their stories.
Think Scott will accidentally play that tender crisp song?
Damn
right
it.
There in the show notes. You could have read that.
You helped me do it, though. I blame Brian.
I did. I totally did. Yeah. Do you even lift, bro? Thanks, Superbot. All right, here you go. So it is Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. This is by the band Uminsky. This came out on an album called Cosmosonica. This, you know, is as electronic and as tech as Daft Punk is. Mm. This one strips that all away and just turns it into a barn-burning rock song.
Wow.
I love this.
All right.
Uminsky from Cosmosonica in 2001 and Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger.
Side recommendation, if you get a chance, it's streaming on all the music services, I'm sure purchasable as well, but Disney put out a version of the Tron soundtrack that Daft Punk did.
Yeah.
But all remixes with a bunch of featured DJs.
Oh, it really?
Really, really good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I've been listening to that for a couple of days. Really, really, really good. Anyway, here it is. Let's play it. We'll be back tomorrow. Come on back now. You hear? Lock it! Make it! We'll be right back.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
What are you...